I consider this a great privilege to be able to teach here. And so I'd like to start off with prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this privilege. Thank you for the blessing that you give us to come together and share your word, get to know you better, know what you have done for us. And I pray that the words that are spoken tonight, that they will give answers where questions were, and that we'll be able to use this, the words that we hear tonight, in our daily walk. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I am teaching on like precious faith. When this is from Andrew Womack's study, Spirit, Soul, and Body. Sorry. And it's one of my favorite things to teach. It's when I taught this for Bible study, it just thrills me every single time I get into it. It's, you know, you get into that wonderful euphoric God bubble, and it's like, how perfect is God and what he's given us? And I just pray that as we go through this, that each of us will have a rhema word, and our eyes will be open to what, just more of the glory that he's given. Okay. So, like precious faith, we were justified by the faith of Christ. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So I emphasize the words, the faith of Jesus Christ and by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, remember those words. God not only provided salvation, but also gave you the faith to receive it. You were so bound up in sin before being born again that you couldn't reach out in your own ability to receive the salvation God had already purchased for you. Your mind and heart were simply too corrupted to believe. This sin-caused blindness separated you from God. He pierced through your darkness by speaking his word to you through someone. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. So he pierced through your darkness by speaking his word to you through somebody, by speaking his life to you through somebody. God's supernatural faith came in. Then when you embrace that word in your heart, you used his faith to receive his gift of salvation. So it's not a faith that we conjured up. It's not something that we mustered up in order to believe the word of God. When we heard the truth, faith was in that truth. God's own faith, God's own ability to believe his word was in his word. So we didn't use our own faith to believe his word. In fact, if you think about it, natural faith, human faith, has nothing to do with God. It's built on human experiences, your human senses. It's just like sitting in one of these chairs. We have faith to sit in it because from experience we've learned that if a chair has four legs, and you know, you can sit in it without having fear of it collapsing beneath you. That's human natural faith. We can drive through a major intersection if we have a green light without fear of traffic coming in and smushing us, because through experience and knowing the laws, we have right of way. We drive through the intersection by faith because of our experiences. That's not God faith. That's not supernatural faith. God's faith allows us to believe something we can't see. It allows us to have faith in something that is not natural, like being born again, like his salvation. Okay? So, let's see. Where did I leave off? Okay, so God's supernatural faith came with it, with his word. Then you embrace that word in your heart, and you use his faith to receive his gift of salvation. Not only were you born again through that faith, but you're to live your entire Christian life by it. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So right here, it points out, Paul was saying that, he lives this life in the flesh, but he doesn't live by his own faith. He's living by the faith of God. All right, so he says, it doesn't say I'm living by faith in the Son of God, but rather I'm living by the faith of the Son of God. Now, there are translations out there that say that we live by faith of the, some say I live by faith in the Son of God, but that's not correct, a correct Greek translation. Let's see, just a few verses earlier in 2:16, Paul stated twice that we are justified by the faith of Christ. So it's very clear it's not human faith that receives from God, but God's own supernatural faith. And again, we cannot create this on our own. It comes from his word. It comes from God himself. It's not something we muster up, something that we have an ability to create. If you think about it, think about Jesus and his faith. Do we all agree that whatever Jesus had faith in, it was possible, it was done, right? There was no lack there. There was no working it up or anything. He had faith and it was done. Well, that same faith that he worked in, we've been given at the new birth, that exact same faith. So we can live by the faith of the Son of God and not by our own faith. Okay, so the first step is to believe that you have this faith, but the goal is to release its benefits into your soul and body. Just like everything else in your spirit, your faith doesn't fluctuate because of your performance. And that's really hard to wrap our minds around because most of our lives we've been taught performance mentality. Right? So now, according to the word of God, your faith doesn't fluctuate because of your performance. You were born again apart from your works using the supernatural faith of God. Now that faith is always there. It doesn't disappear. It's always there in your spirit. It's always there. Your faith begins to operate, work, and become effective when you acknowledge the good things that are in you in Christ. Philemon 1:6. This is one of my favorite scriptures. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ. There is so much that Jesus has done for us, so much that has been downloaded into our spirit that we are not even aware of. That I pray that as every day goes by, glory by glory, that we our minds will be renewed so that we come to know what Jesus has done, because the little that we know now is truly very little. All right, so is that me? Sorry. What am I doing wrong? The cord? Where was I? I was down at the bottom. Okay, Philemon 1:6. You don't have a faith deficiency. You have a knowledge problem. All right? You don't know what you've got. You haven't learned the laws that govern faith or how to cooperate with them. If you don't acknowledge this faith and learn how to use it, then you won't see it manifest. It won't be because you don't have it, but because you're ignorant of how it works. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. So did everybody get one of these when they came in? Okay. Have you all heard of the Baja 1000? No? We got one yes? Okay. The Baja 1000 is actually a off-road, long-distance race. It's usually run in a desert like the Mojave Desert, Baja. It's been run in Mexico and so forth, and it's usually around 800 to 1,000 miles. And these trucks, like the one here, is one, they have different types of vehicles that they use, but one of them is this truck, or trucks like this. These trucks are built to tackle obstacles. They have special suspensions, hydraulics, fuel. They are only able to use the equipment that they have on the truck, so they have like a spare wheels. They have, you know, equipment and stuff, so if they break down, they have to be able to fix them on the spot, out in nowhere, without any help. It's a very rough race for any of the drivers, the expert drivers of this. And in a sense, this truck is very much like the faith that God has given us. This truck was built to overcome any obstacle, rocks, gullies, rivers, anything you can think of out in the desert. It was built to withstand the punishment of the desert and the heat. The drivers, of course, are trained over and over to use this vehicle. These vehicles cost around $500,000. They're called trophy trucks, and they're around $500,000. It costs around $30,000 just to be in a race, and the winnings are usually less than $10,000. So these aren't trucks that, you know, they are supported by sponsorship and everything. So these are very specialized trucks, very expensive. Okay, so take, for instance, there are three different types of people. Say these three people, each one is given one of these trucks, brand new, $500,000, brand new, tricked out to run the Baja 1000 if they wanted to. This is the truck or vehicle that they will be using every single day for every single need, going to the grocery store, dropping off the kids, picking up the laundry, you know, doing this, that, and the other thing. This is their vehicle, their only vehicle that they're allowed to use. Now, this thing is a monster, and it was built, and it's loud, and, you know, it's rough riding and such, and these three people get this truck. Well, the first person, they get the truck, and they look outside their living room window, and they see this brand spanking new truck, $500,000, and they look at it and go, oh, my goodness, this thing is a beast. It's going to take me forever to learn how to use this thing, right? It's like, oh, I just can't tackle it. I'm just going to go watch TV. I'm not even going to think about it. It's just way too much stuff in my driveway. Okay, the second person, they see this same truck, the identical same truck sitting out in their driveway. And they look at it and go, oh my goodness, this is a beast. Okay, where's the manual? And they go get the manual and they start flipping through it and it's like, oh, I don't know if I could ever do this. It's like, this thing is humongous. How am I going to handle this and such? Then the third person, they look out their living room window and they see this truck and they go, oh yeah, this is my truck, you know, and they get that manual out and they're going through the manual and everything, and they get online and they start looking up how this truck is used and everything and what kind of people do it and what do they do with it and such, and they're excited because it's like, what can this thing do? Okay, so the first person, they have to get up and go to work, and they haven't taken the time to look in the manual to even get out there and look at the gauges or turn it on or anything. They're afraid of it. And it's too much. They just can't take it in. And so they say, oh, I'll deal with this later. And they go call somebody and say, hey, can you take me to work? All right? So they get taken to work. The second person, they look out, they got to go to work. And it's like, okay. So they go and get into the truck and they turn it on. You know, this big old beast shaking and everything. And they put it in reverse, and they back out real slow, and they get it turned around, and they go down the street, and just like a 15-year-old learning how to drive, they watch the lines of the on the road, and they're constantly correcting, and they're, you know, stopping short and going fast and stopping short, and, you know, and it's like it's nerve-wracking. They get all the way to work. Okay, great. It's time to go home. Okay, here we go. And they get in it all the way back home. They're jerking and driving and everything like that, and they're trying to keep from hitting people and stay within the lines, you know, and don't go too fast and don't go too slow. And it's like it's nerve-wracking and such. But they get all the way home. They turn it off. They get in. It's like, oh, thank goodness I'm home, right? The third person, they've been up all night looking up everything. They've been out there turning it on, backing out of the driveway, pulling it up front. Turn it off and stuff. Now it's time to go to work. So they're going, and they're just like the second person. They're jerking and going back and forth and stuff like that, trying to stay in the lines and everything, and it's nerve-wracking. They get all the way back home. Thank goodness I'm home. All right? Now you got to go to the grocery store. This first person over here, they look out there, and it's like, maybe I can call somebody. So they call somebody. Will you pick me up some milk? Maybe some, you know, cheese. I want some of this. Do this and that for me. Can you do that for me and such? And, you know, so they get somebody else to take care of their problem. The second person, it's like, okay, got to go to the grocery store. So they get in. It's easier to turn on. They're having an easier time getting out of the driveway. It's still shaky. It's still nerve-wracking. They get all the way to the grocery store, get their groceries, and they get back home. And it's, okay, fine. All right, so the third person. All right, they're excited because they get to get in that truck again and try it again. And they still shaky, still doing everything everybody else is. They get their groceries, they get back home. And then they put the groceries away, and then they get back in the car and go around the neighborhood, you know? And then they get back home, and they're getting a little bit more confident, right? All right, so we got the first person again. They got to go to church. It's like, maybe I can call somebody. You know, what's the closest bus route? They don't want to mess with it because it's a beast. It's unfamiliar. It's something they've never done before, and it's just overwhelming. They don't know how to handle it. They don't even want to try, right? So they're calling people. They're not going anywhere outside of getting help, you know, and people that they call on to help them, they're getting tired of helping them. You got this brand new truck. Drive your truck. But they don't. So, you know, they're wearing on their friends. They're not using what they have. They're not even trying, okay? The second person, they're using this truck, but only when they have to. And it's a shaky ride every time. It's a little bit more comfortable every time they do it, but it's still very shaky. They're still very nervous. They're not taking road trips or doing anything. The third person, they're so excited. They're starting to hang around with people that drive these trucks. They're starting to get into races to see if they could do it. They're tearing it apart and putting it back together to see if it works or how it works. And they're getting involved, and they're getting into races, and they're starting to win races over and over again. You know, so it's like, and now that person that doesn't want to drive, they're calling the one that loves it, and they got their arm out the window, and they're driving their truck and shifting and driving. You know, they're loving it, and they're getting to know it, and they're not afraid to use it. Okay? That's so much like faith. We have people, we have these awesome promises in the Word of God. We have this awesome tool that God gives us and promises, unbreakable promises that He gives us. And we have so many people that it's like, it sounds good, it looks good, but it's just too much and I don't want to take the time to learn it. And it's like, I'm going to find somebody to pray for me. Because they know how to do it, and they get their prayers answered, so I'm going to have them pray for me. And then you have the second person, that they get out there and they use their faith only when they have to. And it's a struggle every time. Granted, it gets easier over time, but it's such a struggle. And then you have the third person that's excited about it, and they get into the Word, and they learn how faith works. They learn what God has given them. And they practice it even when they don't have to, you know, just because of the joy of seeing God answer those prayers over and over again on the little things as well as the big things. So, like with that truck, when you have a big hurdle to go across, if you haven't learned how to drive on three wheels and get over a giant boulder. You know, if he hadn't taken the time how to maneuver up a huge incline, it's like when you come up against it, you're not going to know how to do it. And many times you're going to roll right off that hill, or you're going to get stuck on that boulder and have to be towed off. You know, it's the same thing with faith. If you don't get out there and figure out how to do the little things and work your way up to the big things, when you get to a big thing, you're not going to know how to do it. You're going to get stuck, or you're going to roll backwards off of it. You know, so that's so much like the faith that God has given us. So you need to determine which driver you want to be. Are you going to be the first driver that doesn't want to take the time to know? Are you going to be the second driver that only uses faith or tries it or, you know, works it only when they have to? Or are you going to be that excited driver that's winning races, knowing how to do the hard stuff? All right. So, Okay. So we spoke of we need to know that this faith that God has given, it is of God, not of ourselves. It's not human faith. It's not human reasoning. This is God's faith, the ability to believe in things that we don't see, the ability to trust his word only and see the manifestation afterwards. All right, so we need to know how it works. We need to know the laws of faith. And the only way we're going to know it is by getting into the Word, hanging out with people who know the laws and learning from them. Just like the driver, you know, they had to hang around people who know how to use that vehicle. They had to know, hang around people who know how to drive those races, how to fix the vehicle. Same thing with faith. You need to hang around with people who know how to use it. Glean their knowledge. You know, it's like that's the whole thing in the Bible. You know, all the words in the Bible, we're gleaning knowledge from people who have lived these lives, who have used faith and have succeeded, or and also who have failed and picked themselves up and tried again. Okay, so let's see, Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Some people teach, and some Bible versions actually translate this incorrectly, saying a measure of faith. However, Galatians 2:16 and 20 both verify that this is truly the measure of faith. You receive the exact same quantity and quality of faith when you were born again, as did every other Christian. However, in God's soup line, most people think he dishes out faith using a wide variety of different measures. Someone's given a ladleful, others a teaspoon, to this one a tablespoon, and to that one barely a drop. Romans 12:3 soundly refutes this false perception. In reality, everyone's given the ladle full because it's the measure of faith. Looking on externals, there's no doubt some people operate in more faith than others. You might think they've got more faith than I do. But no, they're just have more of it out in the physical realm. In other words, they're using more of their measure of faith than you are. Let's say you and I were both given identical gift cards worth $1,000 each. I buy an $800 stereo, and you purchase a $200 leather coat. Even though we're given exactly the same measure initially, according to our use, we experience very different results. Paul used the faith of Jesus in Galatians 2:20. He basically stated, I'm living by the same faith that Jesus used when he walked on this earth. How cool is that? That we are able to live by the same faith that Jesus used on this earth. The identical faith. Not less, not more, but not less. The exact measure that Jesus has. How cool is that? All right, so so if Paul lived by faith as Son of God, then that means every other born-again believer like him also has the faith of the Son of God. When you were born again, you were given faith of Jesus Christ. Even if you don't yet understand how to release it, just the knowledge that is there and its potential would give you all the motives you need not to quit until you see it manifest. If you could just grasp, your expectation level would shoot through the roof. Let's see. Peter had this faith. Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. This is 2 Peter 1:1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So Peter wrote this to believers that had already pertained this like precious faith. It was something they were searching for or seeking after. They already had it. They weren't searching for it or seeking after it. This is something that they already received. They didn't receive this faith by being holy or doing anything. It came through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. When you were born again, you also received this like precious faith, the same faith that Jesus walked in. We received that same faith. Peter released his faith and manifested many awesome things. He walked on water in the midst of a raging storm. He preached and saw 3,000 people born again on the day of Pentecost. Peter healed the lame beggar at the temple gate. His shadow fell on people who were instantly made whole as he walked down the street. Now I want that to happen. He also raised Dorcas from the dead. And he did this on this like precious faith. So this isn't something that was measured out. He didn't get just the ladle and we the teaspoon. We got the ladle also, this like precious faith. Do y'all know who Reinhard Bonnke is? Have you heard of him? Evangelist, a healing evangelist in Africa. Well, that's where he mainly was at. This is a statement that he made. It says, when he was asked on television, why do you see so many more healings in less developed countries than here in the United States? Is it because they have more faith? And Reinhard Bonnke's response was, that's an invalid question. He clarified his assertion by adding, Americans are the only people on the face of the earth that I have encountered who have this concept of more faith and little faith. In other countries, either you believe or you don't. Only Americans believe in varying degrees and having hit level 10, 20, or whatever before their faith starts to work. Really, this idea violates what Jesus taught in Matthew 17:20. He said that if your faith was like a grain of mustard seed, you could tell a mountain to move and it would obey you. You could just speak to it and your faith would work. And I want to point out here, it says, he said, if your faith was like a grain of mustard seed, if your faith is not like a grain of mustard seed. Your faith is like the faith of Jesus Christ. He did not have faith like a grain of mustard seed. He had faith that moved mountains. We have faith that moved mountains. We have to get our mind out of this concept of little. You know, it is so huge that we are not mentally able to comprehend it. Okay, so we need to get out of that mindset that we have little faith. We need more faith. We got the full measure of faith. Amen. The full measure. Okay. Just saying. All right. So to go over some scriptures again. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So we all, if you are born again, you have received this faith. It's a done deal. This is not something that you have to obtain. You received it when you were born again. What you do need to obtain is knowledge. Okay? So, as in Philemon 1:6 says, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. How will it become effectual? By acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So if you think of what is every good thing that is in us, everything that Jesus is, okay? The joy, loving kindness, long suffering, self-control. What else is he? Healing, prosperity, favor. It's every good thing that God is already inside us. When we come to the knowledge, and acknowledge it, it's like, and say, yes, I have that. I am that. Okay? Because we are Christ on earth. We are his body. So I am prosperity. I am healing. I am joy. I am long-suffering. I am self-control. Okay? So when you acknowledge that, I am the faith of Jesus Christ. When you acknowledge that and walk in that knowledge, that's when it will manifest. It's all renewing your mind. You have to renew your mind. You have to get the manual out. You have to sit in the vehicle. You have to sit in your faith. Find out what the gauges say. How to turn the key on. It's like how to get it into reverse. It's like you need to learn what faith is. And the only way you're going to do that is by getting in the Word, hanging out with other believers, hanging out with successful believers, okay? It's great when you are there to encourage somebody and bring them up, but you also need to be encouraged and brought up. So if there's people in your, you need to make sure you have people in your life that know something so that you can glean what they know. The Lord gives us everything, but he uses people to do it, okay? So, and part of that is learning the Word. He will use people. And, get into the Word yourself. First-hand knowledge is always the best, right? I use the example, there's a mechanic that I trust. I needed my car worked on. I didn't know a mechanic in town. So I asked a pastor that I knew. And he said, Bill. Go to Bill. He's really good. He's trustworthy. He'll do you good. And it's like, so I went on secondhand knowledge to Bill. After he worked on my car and he did me good, I had firsthand knowledge. So now I trust him more than just what the pastor said. I personally trust him to the point to where I'm able to recommend him to others, okay? Firsthand knowledge is always best. It's good to hear good teaching. It's good to hear, podcasts or reading articles that have to do about God. But it's best when you get in the Word yourself, you get that rhema, and the Lord talks to you personally. All right? I'm like 20 minutes short. I talked really fast. Okay. So, I really hate to leave it that short, though. But actually, there really isn't that much more to it. You need to decide what kind of driver you're going to be. You need to decide, are you willing to put in what it takes to be the best driver? Are you willing to decide that I'm going to win this race no matter what it takes? Yeah, okay. So even though it's very short, I'm going to pray, and I'll hang around a while if you want to talk. So, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for this privilege. I pray that the words that were spoken, that we have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that's open to receive it and is planted in really good soil. And I pray, Lord, that you bring to remembrance the words that were spoken and just have us meditate on it all week long. And I also pray for those divine appointments so that we're able to share it with other people. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.